This is a prelude to episode number 707 of Into Your Head podcast. This is quite a special episode. It was experimental. Now, the purpose of the experiment is yet to be determined or thought up. But shortly before this podcast, I drank a shitload of cheap energy drink from Lidl. And just before the podcast, I sampled a sleep aid of the type that you would use to aid you when going to sleep. Now, anyone who has experience in any of these items would know that the two would either cancel each other out or fight each other to the death for control of my brain, and this will lead to quite an unusual, or some would say a quite normal, episode of Into Your Head. Anyway, suffice to say, if you haven't heard the show before, you probably shouldn't start at this one, because this isn't a bug standard normal episode.
You're listening to
the Into Your Head podcast
from Ireland with your humble proprietor, Neil.
We have a lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that needs to be addressed, topics. Oh, topics. We've got lots and lots of topics. We're positively booming to the seams with topics. We've got topics coming out of out of this very room. This very, well, it's no more. It's no more room than any room. It's, I suppose it's not very room at all. It's adequately room. It's as much a room as any other room, although if you were to come and compare it to the Sistine Chapel, if you're some sort of a tourist and you came along here and you asked someone to bring you on a, I'll bring you on a special private tour of rooms around Europe, and they brought you to see the Sistine Chapel, and then they brought you to see this room that I'm in now, the tourist will probably be very unimpressed. Well, that'd hardly be my fault. That would be the fault of the person who selected the private tour for them and selected the destinations, and they should therefore be sacked, unless the person actually wanted the contrast. Maybe they'd be very happy to see this room, although how this room would come to be on such a tour, I've no idea. I haven't entered it for any kind of tourist guides, or even suggested privately to any tour organisers for the rich and famous that they might come and include this room in it. If they ever do, I'll need to clean it up a bit. It's an absolute fucking mess. As wires, the wires are okay. They're all cool with the territory, but the boxes and crap and shit, possibly real shit. It's very likely, well, quite possible that there's real shit in this room somewhere. Although if it is, it's been there long enough that it's disintegrated down to the point where it can't be detected very easily except by a cat. Let me rephrase what I just said. There's no shit in this room whatsoever. I know that for a fact, because I've been, for the last quite some time, I've been responsible for the housekeeping here. I have seen to it personally, and there's been no shitting going on in this or any other room in this house, except in designated litter trays and toilet bowls. I can be quite sure of that. If there's been any deviation from that, it's been purely unintentional. Why would you intentionally deviate from a litter tray or a toilet? I don't know. Maybe a cat would be a better place to answer that. I don't know. Anyway, suffice to say hello and welcome to the show. Two cats walk into a bar. One of the cats goes straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, what would be a good time to come in here so that I wouldn't necessarily always have to come across you and could relieve you of having to deal with me every single day? Maybe, for example, if I was to come in during someone else's shift, when would be a good time to do that?" And the bar counter says, "Oh, thank you. That's very considerate of you to ask. Unfortunately, I work here pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, weekends included, bank holidays as well, and any time that I'm not here, you could come in the middle of the night, but the place is closed. There's a good chance that you trigger several alarm systems, and you'd automatically call out the police, because they think, because that's what happens nowadays. Anything untoward happens in the middle of the night, anywhere, the police have to be called, sirens have to go off everywhere. There's a power cut for half a second, every freaking alarm in the neighborhood has to go off. And the electricity people say, we've had a notification saying that that alarm has gone off despite there being no alarm. That's electricity powering us. That in itself is suspicious. I suspect someone is going along around stealing our quality backup batteries from all the alarms and replacing them with their own faulty knockoff versions, and that's why the power is going off for a second during the changeover, although that shouldn't be affected when there's no power cut. Although, is there a power cut? I can't remember. I'm sure I said it at some point during this analogy. The cat says, I never forget I ever asked. Forget I ever asked. A pint of your finest Guinness, please. And the man behind the bar says, certainly, sir. Did you ask something before that? And the cat says, oh, well done. I see you're playing along. Oh, that's very good. Very good indeed. Just serve me up a pint of Guinness now there, if you would. And the barman says, no, seriously, did you tell me a minute ago to forget something? Because that seems important. What was it you told me to forget? And the cat says, you've forgotten about it because I asked you to forget about it. And that's exactly what you're asked to do. Think Men in Black, except without all the gadgets. And the man behind the bar counter says, Men in Black, think Men in Black. What the freaking hell is that supposed to be? I'm thinking Men in Black now. Men in Black, what, like coal miners? And the cat says, not exactly, though. You know the movie Men in Black and the sequel. I believe there's a sequel. I believe it's called Men in Black 2, Back to Black or something along those lines, whatever they call sequels nowadays. They usually call it something like that. And when it's getting old, they'll change it. They'll call it The Dark Something, like they did with Batman. Everyone was getting sick to death of Batman, so they changed them to The Dark Knight. I'm sure they did the same with Men in Black at some point. They changed it to the black cat coloured people or something like that. It's not part of my job to come up with names like that. So that was just a hypothetical example. Please don't assess it for its usefulness, but you get the general idea. And the man behind the bar says, yes, I do indeed, but what's all this about a Men in Black thing? And the cat says, forget that ever happened. And the man behind the bar says, oh, I remember now, there was a thing in Men in Black, where your man used to take off his sunshades or something, and he'd look at the other fella and he'd make the other fella forget the last several years of his life. Did you do that to me by any chance? Oh, ho, ho. And the cat says, am I wearing sunglasses? And the man behind the bar says, that's a good point. And the cat says, is it indeed? And the man behind the bar says, well, not really, no, it's just kind of vaguely amusing, something to talk about while your Guinness is pouring. Here it is, it's ready now. That'll be €2.75, please. And the cat says, I don't pay for stuff in here. And the barman says, well, then we have a problem. And the cat says, why do we have a problem? And the man says, because it means you're stealing. And the cat says, it does not, I'm a cat. I think you'll find the legal tender, legal and the clause of contract that all those things don't apply to cats. Those things are only for humans. You can't even come after someone under the law for hitting your cat with a car. If it's a dog, you can. If it's a cat, no. Yet you still expect me to, you won't give me legal protection against crap drivers, but you want me to pay for a pint of Guinness in a pub, which incidentally could well poison me. You might as well be feeding me berries or something. Give me a fucking break. I should report you to the ISPCA. or whatever the local version is. I believe, I'm not going to give away the local version because we don't give away our locality in these stories because we want them to be able to exist anywhere. They exist in the listener's imaginations, no more than Harry Potter would tell you what country he's in. And the barman says he does, he's in Britain. And the cat says, such a stupid, ugly face. And the barman says, fair enough, but I'm going to drink this pint now. Do you have any objection to that? And the cat says, not at all, no, it's your property. It's not as if we've had any legal transaction here where I've bought it off you. That's fine. And the barman says, excuse me for a moment, I'm going to be drinking this for a moment, so I won't be able to say anything. And the cat says, that's fine. Would you not be better doing the lapping method? And the barman stops for a moment. He says, Christ, no. Have you never drunk from a glass before? You don't know what you're missing. There's more to life than licking things from saucers, you know. I won't get anything done. No. The principle of a glass or any other drinking vessel that you see us humans doing is that you can pour it down your gullet as quickly as possible. You can fit as much as down will go. Although, admittedly, that mightn't work too well for a cat because you've only got so much capacity as it is. But no, a vessel is the way to go. That's why you see people in here on a regular basis becoming intoxicated from the amount they're drinking. Even though they're coming these big, huge pint glasses, they just keep pouring and pouring and pouring. Every now and then they take a break and then they pour more and pour more and pour more and pour more and pour more. It's absolutely fascinating watching it. I've made it my life's work to watch people do it. Now, admittedly, that doesn't pay very well, but I do get a fee as well for working here in serving them and doing the. I make my money out of the hospitality part of it, but I have made it my life's work to observe these people as well. And the cat says, oh, that's fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. Aren't you? Well, you're one of the most fascinating human beings known to man, I'd say. Although, who am I to say? I can't speak on behalf of all of man or woman. What are we calling it nowadays? Human, woman, anonymity, is it? I don't know. However you're calling it anyway. And the barman says, are you being sarcastic? And the cat says, No, but I am starting to regret my decision to take a sleep aid just before I started recording in the hope that it would have some interesting effects as the ends of that half can of little energy drink disappear away from an hour ago. You have to experiment with these things, though. And the barman says, you're dead right about that. You're dead right about that. But you shouldn't be buying your energy drink in Lidl. You should be buying your energy drink in a proper bar like this fictional one that we're in now. We'll give you a proper brand name ones. And the cat says, oh, but the ones in Lidl are a lot cheaper and they think you'll find it's pretty much the same ingredients. And the barman says, I'll find nothing of the sort. And the cat says, we'll see about that, just not today. I'll come back another day earlier in the day and we'll have this conversation over coffee rather than alcohol and drugs. And then we'll see how we'll go. And the barman says, oh, so it's a rematch you want, is it? And the cat says, I suppose that's what, if that's what you want to call it, I can't argue with that. I'm not in a position to do so. Anyway, on with the show, possibly.
Hello, this is J. Edgar Casey. Whenever I am listening to fine podcasts, I tune into your head program because it's very clean.
I've always been a great believer in the dictum quod orastratius orant secoria. Of course, this was all back in the 50s before the Pope, a very modern Pope for his time, brought in Vatican II. And he said, oh, you can all start speaking in English now at Mass. You can do your modern fancy English and start impressing the young people. He even let some of them bring in their folk guitars. Some of them managed to sneak them in somewhere. They found a rule somewhere, or a leeway. They found a bit of leeway or a loophole somewhere that has said, oh, I think we could manage a four-string guitar in here of a Sunday. If you got a priest who was open to it and didn't straight away go running off to tell God all about it like a telltale tattler. But no, as backer, I think it was around the 50s or the 60s, they decided, oh, doesn't all have to be in Latin anymore. We do it in English. Like we let the ignorant masses, that's not meant as a pun or anything, but the ignorant masses who attend the masses can start to understand what's going on with them. Now this may seem a little controversial. It also may seem to many in the know rather infactual. That's because I haven't done any research. All I know is I remember a lot of talk on the media in the 80s or so about Vatican II. They said, oh, how's things going since Vatican II, Father, on religious debates? They say, do you think we should go forward to Vatican III or should we go backwards towards Vatican I and then back a bit more? Or should we go back to the First Testament, or should we go back to before there was a Jesus and start a new one? Are you allowed to do that? You're probably not. That's probably up to the Pope and the priest or whoever is on the panel on this TV religious discussion show would say, oh, that's a very interesting question. That's a very interesting question indeed. Now, I expect you to not be here hosting this program by next week. You're going to be replaced. That's nothing to do with anything what we just said, though. By the way, what was the question? And the questionnaire would say, oh, I'm afraid we've run out of time now. We've run out of time. We have to have a commercial break. And don't worry, there won't be any advertisements for what you call it, things that women stuff up them every month, or for nappies, or for any of that other filth. Oh no, there'll be proper wholesome ads for brown bread, for hearty exercise to walk off the calories after you've eaten the brown bread. Not that brown bread has any oh, I shouldn't be giving away what's in the ads. The ads stand. The ads are carefully well constructed by our growing industry of Irish television commercial makers. You don't need me to explain them or introduce them for you. So here you go. Here's a short film of sponsored programs about articles and items that are available on the, currently on the Irish market. And then the RTE One television logo will come up. And behind the scenes, the presenter would drop in her heap. All of his or her bones would just flop down like in that episode of, was it Family Guy, I think, where your man's bones all disappear or something, and he just becomes a pool. And then the ads would come back and they'd say, oh, were we in the middle of a program? Well, forget he ever saw that. And here is an episode of Tom and Jerry, which should fill in 5 minutes or so until the next thing. I wonder what the next thing will be. Don't know yet. I'll find that out when it comes to, although in those days, of course, you'd find out what was on the television by looking up the third last page of the daily broadsheet newspaper. The top half of that page would be dedicated to TV listings. It was quite easy in those days. You had two Irish channels and three or four English ones if you were the type who watched foreign crap. And then you'd have the radio listings down the bottom. It would say Radio 1, and then it would say Radio 2 FM for the young people. It was originally called Radio 2, but they changed it to Radio 2 FM, and then they removed the name Radio from it completely. They called it 2 FM because they wanted to impress the young people. And then they started FM 3, which was for the old people. I never really understood that completely. I think it was just to enable them to know that it was the third station from the left, and it shared the station with someone else. But then eventually they turned that into Lyric FM. There was a music station, didn't have a single lyric on it ever, any day that I've ever heard it, but they called it Lyric FM. And there it is, it's on there all day. Seems to be doing quite well, I suppose. As far as I know, I'm not an expert on these things. Anyway, where was I? No idea how I started this segment. I think the sleep aid is starting to kick in. despite having another a couple of sups of linear of energy drink here. I'll have a couple of more here. This is what you call experimenting. I have friends of mine who work in science. They've worked in science laboratories all their lives. One of them's been working on possible cures for AIDS and possible ways of preventing AIDS. Nepstretcher with all his pipettes and burettes and crap and all the stuff he does over there in his big fancy university. It's never occurred to him to get a mixed up light stimulation drink from a humble greengrocer such as Lidl of Germany, and maybe a sleep aid or two, of which brand I won't give out. I'm not going to start advertising drugs on this program, not until such time as you know what I mean. Oh, incidentally, if you need batteries, this is a proper commercial, incidentally. If you need batteries, I keep forgetting to tell you that if you need batteries, all you have to do is go to intoyourhead.com, go down the left, just after the donate button, which you should use to donate to the show. Anyway, scroll down past the donate button, you see a load of little ads there. You can buy shoes, you can buy prescription glasses, you can buy pets, but you can buy brain tonic energy drink. You can buy anything on Amazon, and in the middle of there somewhere there's a tiny little thing called oldbattery.com, and if you click on that, as I'm doing now, you'll be brought to a magical website. Except don't just go to oldbattery.com, because for one thing that's not how you spell it, and for another thing you have to go through my link. When you get there though, you'll find a magical array of all kinds of batteries, every kind of battery under the sun on sale. And if you buy the batteries through me, basically what happens is I get a generous cut. You get the batteries that you paid for. I get a cut of the action at no extra cost to you, and it's a supports the show. It's absolutely fantastic. That's how you support the arts. You buy some fucking batteries because you need them, because you're living in the 21st century. You can't have I know there's windmills everywhere, but you can't be carrying a windmill around to bed with you every time you want to listen to a podcast in bed. It's bad enough you get your electric cable stuck down your trouser pocket while you're in the middle of a sleep and you don't know where you are. Can you imagine if you had to bring a mini windmill or something down there? No solar detector is going to work down there either. No offense. Anyway, that's what you do. Consider that an advertisement. Consider that a commercial break as part of the content, so we didn't have to break for it. That's what you call professionality. Professionality is king in a dog-eat-dog world of podcasts eating other podcasts and listeners eating other listeners. You can't go up on the internet you can't go up on the internet now without some gobshite telling you they've got a podcast. I'm no different. I've got a podcast too. Stuff. I think it's all kicking in now. Probably going to end up going to bed soon. That's hardly a theme. That probably reflects badly on little mixed up light stimulation drink. If I can't compete with one sleep aid, the only ways you find these out are by experimenting. Their headquarters is down in quite a remote town down in County Kildare. All of their staff would have to either drive there or get a train from the city. They can't be expecting them to be having sleep aids as part of their work as experiments. I guess they're going to put them up in a hotel there. So I suppose it's reasonable that I do the work. Anyway, this is getting a bit much. Will we end this segment? We probably will.
Follow Neil at twitter.com/intoyourheadpod and pretend to like him at facebook.com/intoyourheadpodcast.
monkey nuts. That's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-piling, vomit-inducing, vomit-uninducing. Can you uninduce vomit? You probably can. Why not? It's just holding back a vomit. Is there an exterior factor that can hold back a vomit for you that can assist you in doing so, other than stuffing a fist down your mouth, which probably wouldn't help, whether it's your fist or someone else's fist. I know there's probably some sort of vomit preventing. I know there's stuff you can get that will treat nausea and stuff. I'm sure you can get that. But is there something that you can take out of your pocket when you know you're about to vomit and it'll just put a stop to it? I don't know, like some sort of inhaler. Maybe there's some sort of inhaler where that you inhale. You don't inhale the whole inhaler as yourself. The inhaler is a tool that enables you to inhale whatever is being put into the inhaler, and the selection of what's put into the inhaler would be the important choice here, not the inhaler itself. Science and technology have mastered the design of an inhaler pretty much as they're going to for now, I think, so we don't need to worry about that. If there's any new developments in them, I'm sure they'll come to mass market eventually. But Yingdeka has read that there's already exists such apparatus as an inhaler. What we need here to do here is to figure out, is there anything that can be put into the inhaler for the purpose of it being inhaled that would instantly stop a vomit? Another thing, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? There's nothing wrong with vomiting. As long as you control it. Well, maybe that's what the inhaling is about. But no, if you can control the vomit, get it to somewhere. You'd either carry a paper bag, which is a lot easier to carry, I'd say, than an inhaler, or else carry I don't know, just carry something, carry instructions, carry an eye telephone with a maps open on it and all the local toilet facilities mapped out, which admittedly in this town would be a problem. There's one local toilet and half the time it's broken or locked, and I can tell you, if you're in the need for a vomit and you don't live locally, that's going to be your best bet, to run down. Well, you could be 2 miles away and still be in the town. You could have a 2 mile walk to the public toilet. Then you have to fidget for exactly 25 cents in change, in local change, and then you have to figure out whether you can get into the toilet, which you isn't always guaranteed. In fact, if it's not always guaranteed, that's a meaningless statement. That means it's not guaranteed. It's either always possible, it's either guaranteed that it's always possible, or it's not guaranteed at all. I suppose now that I think about it, you could have a guarantee whereby they say you're always guaranteed access, and if you don't manage to get access under the terms of the guarantee, we'll compensate you. But that doesn't do you any good. That doesn't guaranteeing something is not the same as making it happen all the time. So don't go for guarantees. They're a load of bollocks. Unless it's something that you know you can do without if they don't manage to do it, and at least you get the comp. You get where I'm going with this. Be aware of your consumer rights and how they affect you, basically, is what I'm trying to say to you here. Monkey nuts, is that where I was? I think so. Monkey nuts, monkey nuts, monkey, monkey, monkey nuts. This is an unusual direction for the monkey nut portion of the show, but this isn't a normal show, so let's just roll with it. Oh, now I've just had an idea. This harmonica would make a great inhaler. Now, I know, I don't know that for a fact. I'm not an inventor. Well, it's got holes in one side and it's got holes in the other, and I'm pretty sure it's got some sort of holes in the other, and I'm pretty sure it operates on the basis of air going through the right way. So if this harmonica, if I was somewhere working in a bar, for example, and I wanted to quietly let out a vomit, you could have it where one of the holes on the far left would be specifically designated for vomit. So I could quietly hold up the harmonica up to my mouth and pretend I'm playing along with the in-house bar music or whatever's on the radio, and I could just silently slowly and gradually, it would take a bit of practice, mind you, but slowly let out my air into the vomit hole of the mouth organ, or else it could have, instead of having a vomit hole, it could have a one section, one or two holes on the left end devoted entirely to being, to doubling as an inhaler. I would have the correct anti-vomit inhaling gas referred to earlier. These are, of course, just the beginning of an idea. Just an ideas, man. I don't have everything. But if you want to work ahead on that, when you're when you're all finished figuring out how to get rid of AIDS, which, as far as I understand, you're pretty close to, you're going to want something else to do after that. I wanted to do that in the universities, in the medical universities, like they used to do in Google. You spend 80% of your time on your main project, and you're allowed to do whatever you want the other 20% of the time, and I'm pretty sure I know what I'd be working on the other 20% of the time. Whether how to deal with vomit quietly in the bar with a harmonica. I can tell you, it may not change the world, but it would change a Friday night out in the university bar. And all of these freaking people who are working on these sciences things, they spend a lot of time in university bars, so you know it's going to affect them. So it's all remains for someone to tell them. Someone to quietly give them the idea and not sue them for using it. Like they did with the fella with Facebook, because you don't want to end up like that. That's what happens with all these scientists. They invent something and they're afraid to open their gob, because whoever invented the gob will come and see Professor Stephen Hawking. Whenever he comes up with an idea, he's afraid to say it, because whoever invented his thing that he types through that makes an artificial voice for him, he thinks whoever invented that can claim to own the rights to anything he says. And then I tell you, that's why he has to write books about everything. Poor bastard. Poor bastard, Professor Stephen Hawking. Although he seems to make the best of it. He's still alive. He makes the best of it. He goes on television all the time. He's on television over here recently doing a television program. He comes on, they point the camera at him, and the cameraman leaves the camera there and goes off and has a coffee and just leaves the camera there. And then they insert some pre-programmed photos of landscapes and other people talking, and then they come back to Professor Stephen Hawking and he's still there typing away. I won't demonstrate, because that would mess up my recording software here, but suffice to say, the man has been typing all his life. He's like one of the finest. If you're ever one of those data entry people and you're all depressed about it, you're thinking, I'm going to be entering data into computers for the rest of my life, just think of Professor Stephen Hawking. He's been tapping away at keyboards all his life, and look how much he's achieved and how much respect he's got. That could be you if you put your mind to it. Anyway, good morning.
You've been listening to Neil tell you stories about cats, probably. Neil talks a lot about cats. Send your topic suggestions to studio@interyourhead.com.
Into your head.